From the Bob Barley Studio in Orlando, Florida, you're listening to The Diz Unplugged. Hello and welcome to The Diz Unplugged Roundtable Discussion for the week of August 22nd, 2012. From Orlando, Florida, I'm your host, Pete Werner, joined at the table this week by my good friends, Teresa Eccles, Kathy Whirling, Walter Eccles, Kevin Close, and John Magi. Sean Thompson back in the... Actually, Sean Thompson's kind of sort of back at the controls, helping make sure that the show records.
He's our Lieutenant O'Hara this week.
Yes. And Dustin West on vacation, and Corey Martin still attending to his hot wife. Listen to the last show. You'll get it. In this episode, Walter and I are going to discuss the differences between the cruises that we took last year and this year. We did the Wonder, the Disney Wonder to Alaska last season. We did the Norwegian Jewel to Alaska this past week. And we're going to discuss that trip and some of the observations that we made. In the differences between the two. The most obvious difference between the two is the price. The cost of one balcony stateroom on the Wonder was a little bit less than the cost of two equally sized balcony staterooms on the Jewel.
Same length of cruise?
Same length of cruise, 7 nights. The Alaskan cruises for Disney this season are going out of Seattle, so is this one. The one that we did last year went out of Vancouver, which does make a difference in terms of how you sail. And I'll give you an example. Going out of Vancouver on Disney, we did the Inside Passage up and back. Whereas on the Norwegian Jewel going out of Seattle, we did the Outside Passage going up and the Inside Passage coming back. They actually started where the Disney cruise ended. Their itinerary last year. So we started in Ketchikan, and then we went to Juneau, and then we went to Skagway, and then we went to Victoria, British Columbia. On the Disney sailing last year, going out of Vancouver, we started in Skagway, went to Juneau, went to Ketchikan, and then back to Vancouver.
So on the Disney cruise, you worked your way up. You worked your way north.
Correct.
On the Norwegian, you worked your way south. You sailed north and then worked your way south.
Right. He hauled butt, going up the Outside Passage, up to Ketchikan, and then we came back the Inside Passage. And the reason that's important is because when you sail the Inside Passage at Alaska, it's one of the most stunning things you will ever see in your life. You have land on both sides of you. And I'm not talking about you're not passing by cities and refineries and houses and things like that. I am talking about the most beautiful, unspoiled
mountains and waterfalls. And
I mean, it is epic. It is the only word I can think of to describe the scenery is epic. And when you're on the Inside Passage, it doesn't matter if you have a starboard balcony or a port balcony. On either side, you're going to see this amazing...
Nice. So if you go, make sure you do look for Inside Passage, that you are going to have the Inside Passage.
Okay. Well, I think a lot of it depends on what port it sails out of. Now, next year, Disney is back in Vancouver. So I think that will be how they'll do it. They'll do the Inside Passage up and back. That's my assumption. I could be wrong. But that was one of the things. But we started in Seattle, and not that this is a part of the comparison, because... you know, I can't really compare Seattle and Vancouver. Both equally beautiful cities. I think I like Vancouver a little bit more. But we stayed at the Four Seasons in Seattle. Now, normally I do not stay at the Four Seasons. That's pretty much above my pay grade. But this was a special trip. This is... my mother is doling out her bucket list to me. Started with Hawaii, which we went on that trip last year. Alaska this year. And she wants to go see Washington, D.C. and Virginia and Philadelphia and all that stuff. So that's why we're doing the Spirit of America next year.
Awesome. I'm glad she's getting to do it.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. So being that this was a special trip, I wanted it to be special. So I figured, you know, we were booked into one hotel. And my best friend, Kevin, who lives with me now and is also working as my assistant, used to do... that sort of job for a very, very famous person. I'm not comfortable saying who it is, but it's a very famous person. Not at this table.
This is somebody you've all heard of.
Yes, you've all heard of this person, but I'm not at liberty to say who it was. That's for Kevin to decide. But he worked for this person for 10 years and stayed in all the best hotels. And he saw the hotel I was staying in Seattle, and I don't remember the name of it. It was a Marriott. It was Marriott Waterfront or something. And he's like, no, not for this trip, not for your mother. I said, well, where would you recommend? He's like, well, we always stayed at the Four Seasons. Now, a room at the Four Seasons is $600 a night.
Wow.
And I had to get two rooms. So we had a couple of nights on the front of the trip. We had one night on the end of the trip just because I didn't want, my mother's 82. So there can't be rushing through airports and, taxis and getting onto a ship. I didn't want to do that to her. So we wanted those. And I wanted it someplace nice. I wanted her to experience. She's never stayed in a place like that. And I wanted her to have that experience. So we did that. I'm going to tell you something. Disney should send every executive in their organization who is responsible in any regard for their hotels to the Four Seasons. Because that's how it's done. Remember how Disney service used to be?
Well, I also think that's the price you paid. You would pay that for the Grand Floridian for a night.
Right. And I don't get that level of service at the Grand Floridian. Let me explain to you the fanatic service these people give. As we disembarked our cruise.
We stole someone's luggage?
Well, let me tell this. As we disembarked the cruise, when we got into our room and they brought our luggage up, we realized we had someone else's luggage. Mm. Now, we didn't take it. The porter put it on there thinking it was ours, and it wasn't. And we didn't realize until we got to the hotel. Now, having been in a position where I've left a piece of luggage at the port or a piece of luggage has been lost, I know what that feels like. And we saw the person's name, and we were told by the hotel the only thing that we could do was we had personally had to bring it back to the port for security reasons, that they couldn't do it. But they have a house town car and a driver on standby at all times. If a guest needs to go somewhere in a certain radius, complimentary, part of what you pay for. So, first of all, the bellman that brought the luggage automatically gets on the phone, starts making phone calls, finds out exactly what we have to do. I had to do nothing. Does all this stuff, says, I will call you as soon as the town car is ready. 5 minutes later, calls me, Mr. Warner, your car is ready, ready to take you to the port whenever you want. He'll wait for you while you do what you have to and bring you back. So we get into the car, and it was one of the other bellmen that was driving us. And he said, I wonder if because this bag had the tag that Norwegian has you put on your luggage tag at the end of the cruise. And it has your name in place for your phone number and even a place for, where you're going. Like, if you're getting on a flight or if you're going to stay in a hotel. And he said, I wonder if any of that information might be on that tag before we drive back to the port. Because he says, going to the port's going to be crazy. It's going to be really time consuming. And
the guy was already gone. The guy would not still be there. It's not like we're going to run into him and say, here's your bag.
Yeah. The person whose luggage wasn't there.
Right.
It was going to be a nightmare.
So he pulls over. And he opens up the trunk and he looks and he sees Hotel Monaco. So he calls the Hotel Monaco and finds out this guest is in fact at the Hotel Monaco right now, is frantic because they think the cruise line has lost their bag. Gets us over to the Hotel Monaco, calls the Hotel Monaco, tells them we're coming with the bag. We pull up, get out, deliver the bag, get back in the car and go back to the hotel. All taken care of.
Wait. You had all of your luggage, though.
I had all of my luggage.
You just had an extra piece.
Right.
Okay.
That didn't belong to us. Every step of the way in this hotel, they were falling all over themselves. These guys got excited because they had an opportunity to help a guest. I mean, they were actually excited. They were pumped up that they had something like this to do because it gave them an opportunity to showcase the hotel service. And this is what the Four Seasons apparently is known for. That it's concierge service. I mean, anything you need. When I wanted to hire a car and driver to take us around Seattle for 4 hours, because my mom wanted to see Seattle, But again, she can't get in and out of the car. You know, all that moving around is a little too much for her. So Kevin works with the concierge before we travel, works with the concierge at the Four Seasons. They set up the driver. They set up the itinerary that was tailored to my mother. And it's all put right on your hotel bill. I'm not dealing with this one or that one. All of our transportation to and from the hotel, all handled by the hotel, set up by the hotel. You had to worry about nothing. It was brilliant.
Don't you find that private car just so luxurious?
What a great way to travel.
It's, we've done it a couple of times now, and it's, you know, you leave your bags if you shop. You don't have to carry everything with you. You don't have to make sure you didn't leave anything in a taxi.
But you also get to see what you want to see.
Mm-hmm. It's really exactly. The way to see a city.
It really is. And it's not cheap. It's never cheap.
Well, you know, it was because we did something similar on the cruise in Ketchikan. Was it Ketchikan or Juneau?
Juneau.
Where we hired a car for 4 hours. It was the same price. It was $600 for four people. So that's $150 an hour for four people. When you look at other shore excursions, you can spend that much very easily for four people.
That's why we always look at it. We look at what the shore excursions are, what they do, how much they cost, and then how many people are there.
Right.
Because it's not just me going. It's me and Kevin and whoever else we're traveling.
Right. Exactly.
So the car sort of averages out.
So I just wanted to make that point about the Four Seasons, that it was a level of service I have not experienced from Disney in many, many years.
They're famous for their beds also.
The rooms were beautiful. I mean, look, it's a first-class hotel. I mean, it's a first-class hotel. And I'm thrilled that they're opening one on Disney property next year, because there is that level of service right in the shadow of Disney.
And I can't imagine that the price point is going to be that much higher than the Grand Floridian?
No.
Or the Contemporary?
No. Very easy to spend those numbers. I mean, again, you're talking upper level deluxe at Disney.
Right.
And this is upper level deluxe, but a level of service Disney simply does not provide anymore. And they should. But I wanted to get that out of the way. So let's get to the comparisons of the cruise. I broke this up into a couple of areas. First of all, how does the Norwegian Jewel stack up against Disney for families? Not very good. Not very good at all. As I mentioned when I called in last week, children were running wild around this ship. Now, we're on a cruise in the middle of August. Kids are still out of school. There were between 500 and 600 kids on the sailing, which is unusual for Norwegian. And they did have kids clubs. They had a teens club, but apparently they weren't very good. And we heard from guests on the ship. We heard from previous guests on the Jewel who said their kids didn't like it, that they would go in and the activities weren't really organized. It was just kind of like a place to dump your kids.
Oh.
And so the kids would be there for a little while, but then they didn't want to be there anymore.
Hmm. You would really hear them screaming. And we're not kidding. They're running down the hall screaming.
Wow.
And because it's an Alaska cruise, and Alaska equals cold, the pools weren't exactly full. So these kids had nothing to do except run around the ship and up and down the stairs and up and down the hallways. Something you never or very, very, very rarely see on Disney, because those kids' clubs are so good. So if you are talking about having kids that need to be entertained and occupied, I would not recommend. I would not recommend it. Now, look, if you simply can't, if it's the difference between going and not going, then absolutely go on the Norwegian. But in terms of the services for kids, there's no question. I mean, Royal Caribbean, I would suggest Royal Caribbean in that case over Norwegian. Royal Caribbean has much better kids clubs. They've put more effort into it. Norwegian is just, well, we do it too. That's kind of the attitude I got from
child
it.
Storage.
Yeah, child storage is probably a great way to put it. I just, you know, like I said, if these kids were being entertained and occupied in the kids clubs and engaged the way they are on Disney and even Royal Caribbean, to a lesser degree, but still, if they were being engaged, they would not be running around the ship. And they were running around the ship. And it was really annoying.
Alone?
Yes.
I blame the ship for part of this, too.
No, wait, how...
Well, in
are we
packs,
talking like
in wild packs of roaming
oh,
kids.
Oh, stop. Are we talking 10 and up? Or are we talking...
I'm talking... I saw everything from 5 and 6 to 13 and 14.
Oh, huh. My God.
And...
Where were their parents?
I don't know.
Gambling.
I don't know. I don't know where their parents were. In some cases, the parents were there, but in a lot of cases, it was just kids running around.
I think you made an important point. Their kids' clubs are not that great, and then when the kids can't go to the pool or go crazy up on deck, what are they going to do to entertain themselves?
There's very little left,
right?
Except running up and down the halls and the stairs.
There are slot machines.
But, I mean, does Norwegian have a movie theater?
I don't believe so.
Because Royal Caribbean does, but it was very small, and it was very, very limited.
It was basically a conference room.
No, the Norwegian ships really are designed for adults.
Right.
Okay, lots of signature restaurants, lots of lounges, casino, things like that. There's plenty for adults to do.
They have a card room. I mean, they have stuff for adults, yeah.
It really isn't for kids. But let's talk about adults for a second. If you are an adult that really doesn't like being around a lot of kids, I'm going to tell you, stick with Disney. Stick with Disney. If you're traveling during a period when the kids are out of school, if you're traveling, which covers a lot of the Alaskan season, the Alaska season goes from May to early September. And during especially the July, August months, when a lot of people do Alaska sailings, the kids are out of school, these ships are likely to have more kids. Again, Disney segments the kids' areas and the kids' activities and the adult areas and the adult activities in such a way that if you don't want to see, we've said it on the show before, if you don't want to see kids, you don't have to.
Right.
And that's one of the things I've always loved about Disney, because, you know, that's the biggest thing that we get back from people is, oh, Disney's going to be too many kids. Yeah, but they're well taken care of, and they're well entertained, and they're engaged. So they're not running around the ship like crazy people.
There's also a couple of more adult, there's also a couple of cruise lines that skew more adults if you're looking to do this. Princess sails to Alaska, as does Celebrity.
Mm-hmm.
Holland America.
They all do.
But they're a little, Celebrity and Princess skew a little older.
Right.
Exactly.
So the idea of having young kids, it's not as family oriented.
Right. Well, and truly, neither is Norwegian. It really isn't family oriented. It's not. And, you know, I realize maybe their marketing would say something different, but they're lying. Now, if you're an adult that doesn't care so much about whether or not there are kids, I find the Norwegian ship to be a better option, because there's a casino. B, there's a lot more signature restaurants. And the food, let me tell you something, the food on this ship, my second time on Norwegian, both times, same thing. Food is exquisite. The food and the buffet. While the buffet was run by monkeys, and it was an absolute chaotic cluster fudge. Well,
I think anytime you go on a buffet on a ship, it's going to be really...
But no, this was laid out poorly.
I would have liked to have seen a buffet run by monkeys.
Well, you should go on the Norwegian Jewel.
That sounds like fun.
But... the fact that you could never find a table, the fact that tables were never cleaned, the fact that the coffee and drink stations were never stocked with cups, and you would have to get your cup from one place and your coffee from another and your creamer from another because nothing was ever stocked up. If you can look past all that, the actual food you put on your plate was delicious.
We found on the Norwegian Epic that the buffet, the food was good. Everything else was as Pete described.
Exactly. But seeing you compare that to Disney and Cabanas... and they clean those tables immediately, and the food.
But now you're talking about the dream and the fantasy. I'm talking about what's sailing out of Seattle, and that's the wonder. And maybe they clean the tables, but the food is not good. Yeah. Okay, the food on the Magic and the Wonder, generally speaking, is subpar. And here is a cruise ship charging you half what you pay on Disney, half. And they are delivering double the quality of food, even in their most basic form. Now, the number of nights, I think there were 3 nights that we actually ate dinner in the main dining room, which you don't pay extra for. If you eat in the signature restaurants, you pay anywhere from $20 to $50 a person more. But in the main dining room where the food is free. We found the food to be excellent. It was hot. It was attractive. It was tasty. It was good quality. It was well prepared. It was consistent. The service was quick. We didn't wait for a table. Something Norwegian does that I love. It's freestyle dining. So you don't have a set time that you have to eat.
Okay.
Which makes it nice.
So what they have around the ship are monitors that show you all the restaurants, the regular restaurants and the signature restaurants, and then in half-hour blocks, 5, 5:30, 6, 6:30, all the way through, and you have either a green dot, a yellow dot, or a red dot. Green means plenty of availability, come on in. Yellow means starting to get full. Red means we're not seating anybody, or we've got a wait list. So you can take a look very quickly and say, okay, well, now that restaurant's full, that restaurant, okay, that one's open. So you go to that restaurant. And we did two of their signature restaurants.
Well, yeah, we did one of the main dining. There was also another one. The Tsar's Palace is complimentary, and we never did go to that one.
Right, but they're both the same menu, both the same kitchen.
Oh, okay.
It's just because the main dining rooms are kind of small-ish for a ship that holds 4,000 people.
Yeah, so we found our Norwegian cruise.
So what they do is they have multiple ones, but they share a kitchen and they share a menu. So we did the Brazilian Steakhouse. I forgot the name of it. And
Samba?
No, it was something else. But
Modero, but I don't know.
Yeah, that's why I wasn't going to try, because if I can't pronounce it, you certainly can. So the food was very good, but it was that kind of Brazilian steakhouse with the gauchos that come around with the skewers.
Did you have a dancing girl?
No, we did not have the dancing girl. But what they did, you know, they give you the little card that's red on one side for I don't want any more food and green on the other for give me more. Well, apparently they were all colorblind because they just kept giving, would you care for some? And I would hold it up, red. And I was like, I was kind of in a mood that night. No, I was in a mood and I wasn't really
playing.
A playful mood.
Yeah.
And eventually I said, red. I understood when I sat down that red meant I didn't want any more food. Why do you keep asking me if I want? Can you not see this? Is this not as evident to you as it is to me? It's red. I don't want any more damn food. Go away. They never came back to me again.
Was this dining room full?
No, not even close.
Okay, see, I think, and I'm not making excuses for them, because I think we had that same experience where there wasn't a lot of tables and they were just so anxious to bring something to somebody.
Right.
And it was like, no, stop.
I have to go back a second to the service you were talking about. When we were just on the Disney ship, we noticed that our service was a little annoying, obtrusive.
I am really, really fearful of our cruise coming
up. And they did something that we were absolutely shocked at. They stood in the dining room on the second to last night and asked us. They told us we would get a survey and asked us to mark them excellent. However, they wanted our survey done verbally in the dining room while they stood there.
Oh, that'll get ugly.
Now, I thought maybe this was an isolated incident. There are other posts on the boards that people are reporting this from other Disney cruise lines, other Disney ships, that this is something that's happening. And you were talking about how service being quick. I'm finding on the Disney cruise line that someone needs to tell them that there's a difference between frantic quick and good service quick. Mm-hmm. That if I am still touching the plate with the fork, I'm not done.
Right.
And I'm finding that they're taking away food before you finished it.
No, not me.
Minute you set your fork down, even to take a drink, they want to take what you're not touching. And we found that on the in cabanas, and we found it in the dining rooms on the Magic that we just went on.
Yeah, we didn't have that experience at all. I mean, I found the service, any of the table service places, very professional, very good, timed very well. We had as much time as we wanted, or as quick as we wanted, to have our meal.
Other than the gauchos bringing around too much food, how was the rest of the meal?
Oh, the food was excellent.
Was good. Yeah, we liked
the salad bar was excellent.
I think we could have had the salad bar as a meal.
It was incredible. It was incredible. I mean, really, really good. Same thing at the steakhouse. Steakhouse was outstanding. It was outstanding. And so food-wise, you know, if that's a big consideration for you, no question. No question.
On your ship, did you have an Asian restaurant? Did you have a Chinese or a Japanese?
We did. We just didn't do them all.
I got to tell you, we went there on our Norwegian cruise one night, and that was free. That was a cover charge. But Was there a cover charge?
I think you're getting the Allure and the Epic mixed up.
Okay, never mind that. I'm sorry.
The Chinese food on the Epic was behind the noodle bar, remember?
Right.
And there was a charge for it. It was, I think it was $15.
But do you remember how good it was?
I do.
It was killer good. So I think that all their restaurants are very good on the
food
Norwegian.
Food is very good on Norwegian. If food is a big thing for you, if you're a foodie and you like good food and you like gourmet food, Norwegian is definitely wins on that count.
But even if you're really tired and you just want to go to the buffet and eat something at night, they still had good selections.
Yes.
That you could choose.
We found that on the Allure also. And I imagine on the Oasis. We tried a lot of the upscale restaurants.
The signature restaurants on the Oasis were very good. I found the main dining room and the buffet terrible.
We talked about
the
buffet.
So, but I want to stay focused.
But I just say one more thing? I think when you're comparing cruises, I think this is important to us. I'm tired of the dining rotations on the Disney ships. I'm tired of that set dining. I'm tired of you have to eat here every night. I love this.
I love the freestyle dining.
Freestyle, absolutely. I love the signature restaurants. Charge me more for a restaurant, I'm happy about it.
I'm also tired of the menus on the Disney ship.
Yeah. Yeah, it's getting old. It's getting old. Now, I want to talk about the staff. This is where Disney clearly wins the day in terms of service, overall service on the ship. On a Disney ship, you may occasionally come across a disgruntled cast member, a cast member that's not having a good day, but it's rare. Usually they're really happy, and even if they're not, they put on a good act. Not on Norwegian. I'm going to say about 30% of the cast members I interacted with were either disinterested or downright rude, especially getting on and off the ship. The security getting on and off the ship, they were barking.
Abrupt at best, yeah.
Hmm. Barking at people. They give you virtually no room between where you're swiping your card to get on the ship and the tiny little conveyor belt that goes through the X-ray and the little metal detector you got to walk through. So it gets all backed up, and they're pushing people through. And I'm like, there's no way you're doing adequate security here. There's no way.
Are you talking about coming back from port?
Coming on the ship from port, yes.
Well, I went to put my coat through the scanner, and you're not supposed to do that. So the guy just pushed my hand away and said, no, don't do that. Your coat doesn't go through there. And he pushes my hand
away. Yeah, I mean, very abrupt, very rude.
I was kind of surprised. I mean,
you know. Guest services, you get a, you know, I got a note on my door one day, like the third day of the cruise or fourth day of the cruise. I got a note saying, our records indicate that you have chosen to pay cash for your onboard charges, and we need you to put more cash in your room. I'm like, I have a credit card on my room. What are you talking about? Mm-hmm. So I went down to guest services, and she kind of just like, I said, I just got this on my door. I said, this is incorrect. I have a credit card, and you've been charging it. And she just kind of took it from me and looked at it, and she goes, you need to talk to her over there. She's the finance person. I'm like, okay.
That was it?
Okay, so I walked over to finance, who was like, you know, Olga from the Ukraine, who had the personality of a blender. And, oh, no, this is because we did not have internet connection last night, and we could not get authorization, so it kicked this out.
That was nice.
I'm like,
she blamed the glacier?
Yeah.
She blamed the glacier.
Well, no, because we were in a section on the inside passage. It's very mountainous. And so the satellite doesn't get a good satellite because it's all satellite internet. So satellite. I was having the same problem. It was very difficult to get on the internet that night. So when they tried to send for their authorization, they couldn't get it. And so their computer started. But it wasn't that it happened. I have no problem with that. It was an error, and that's fine. It was just, you know, it was very, very cold, matter of fact. It wasn't like, I didn't get an impression from most of the staff. I didn't get an impression from most of the staff that they're glad you're there.
I would have loved to have heard that.
Whereas Disney, you know, you do get
it's
that impression
happy,
that,
yeah.
You know, we're glad you're here. Royal Caribbean, the service on Royal Caribbean is unbelievable. They're glad you're there. Norwegian was like, okay, you're here. I got to deal with you because you're here.
Were they an international staff, or was it all?
Like every other cruise ship.
Okay,
like
so
every
it
other
was
ship.
Okay, so it wasn't all.
And
Olga,
it was our stateroom host. By contrast,
she
was
could not have been nice.
Amazing, she was phenomenal,
and loved Madeline. Loved
my mother.
How could you not love Madeline?
Really,
loved my mother. did a great job with our rooms. She was great. And there were other, like the casino staff was outstanding. Outstanding. The dealers, the pit bosses, very friendly, very engaging. That was not the experience I had on the last Norwegian ship I was on. Although I will tell you, there is something up with the casinos on Norwegian ships.
We're not going back.
Because I never lose so much money in a casino as I do on Norwegian. Royal Caribbean, I'll at least break even. Vegas, I'll usually walk away with some money. Norwegian, I don't know what it is. I don't know. I have no hard proof that they're doing anything they shouldn't be doing. But again, there are no rules governing these casinos. These casinos operate in international waters. They can set their own rules.
Okay.
Now, we actually won on the Epic. We came away with more money than
we wasn't.
However, I think I remember talking to the casino people, and where Royal Caribbean owns the casino, Norwegian doesn't. Norwegian casino is a separate business.
Oh, it could be.
So it could be why the staff is different, why you have a different overall experience.
But I mean, my problem with the casino was it was incredibly small for a ship that size. So it was always packed. It was very difficult to get seats at certain tables. And, you know, the slot machines, they didn't have enough slot machines. And they were always full. And so it wasn't, you know, enjoyable. Whereas like when we were on the Oasis, you have that massive casino that's got a smoking side and a non-smoking side. And I just thought for a ship that holds 4,000 people, they probably want a larger casino. But generally speaking, I found the staff, again, I have to give the mark to Disney in terms of the staff by a mile.
It's funny you should say that. When we were on the Epic, we thought the casino was too big. They devoted too much space to the Epic.
I thought that was great. It felt comfortable. It reminded me of Vegas.
It was very comfortable.
But Epic's a completely different ship and completely different casino, where it's the entire floor of...
Right. Not I.
Oh. I'm thinking of the Oasis.
No, on the Epic, it was like a whole floor.
We learned Oasis.
Well, now the ship in general, this is one of the things I had big concerns about, because, you know, I know the quality of Disney ships. Say what you want about the price point. There is no arguing. Wonder Magic, Dream Fantasy. These are incredibly elegant ships that are beautiful and impeccably maintained.
Mm.
Oh, this is my opinion. You can disagree all you want.
Well, we were just on the Magic, okay. And that was one of our things we found out.
Okay. Well, I'm saying that, generally speaking, my experience, these ships have always been beautiful, elegant, impeccably maintained. And I was concerned that, you know, I'm getting on to another cruise line ship, and what was it going to be like? Well, now it does not have the dramatic grandeur that Disney is good at, but it was an absolutely beautiful ship. It was very well maintained. It was clean. Everything looked like it was relatively recently rehabbed. It was very comfortable. Now, there were certain areas. The elevators on the ship were terrible. I have never seen elevators take so long. And what was happening was people would push the button for the elevator. It would take too long, so they would just take the stairs. But this is happening on every floor. So now it's stopping at every floor, making the elevators take longer. So it's like this cycle. And it got to a point where it was like annoying. But outside of that, and a couple of areas on the ship that were laid out a little weird that tended to create these bottlenecks. The area around one of the main dining rooms was a kind of narrow hallway. So when people were going for dinner, there was like this cluster of people outside the dining room. And you're trying to walk. That's how you have to get to the casino. So you've got to like kind of like walk through this crowd of people to get into, you know. So it was kind of crazy. But all that being aside, the staterooms were every bit as nice and as comfortable as what I would have on the Magic or the Wonder.
And the balcony was huge.
Balcony was massive. Massive balcony. And this was not an aft balcony. This was a regular midship balcony. And I'm going to say it was about 30% larger than what you have on Disney in terms of its width and its depth. And, I mean, you could have truly laid out on this balcony.
Yeah.
So... what I didn't like about the balconies was that the dividers between them, rather than being, you know, all the way to the rail and straight up so that you're private in your balcony, they were on an angle. So if somebody else was standing at their railing, they could clearly turn around and see you on your balcony.
Yeah.
Which my brother availed himself of at every possible time.
Oh, no.
So I'm sitting out there and I'm trying to just, you know, just kind of chill and relax. And every time I would say, you know, head would pop across the boat. Hey, what's going on? How are you? And eventually I had to say to him, Kevin, I'm not trying to be rude. But when I'm out my balcony, I just want to chill.
I'm trying to picture the Norwegian ship. Did we even go out on the balcony? I'm trying to picture that. The one
yeah,
we
had there was dividers, and but they didn't go all the way to the floor or the ceiling.
Yeah, I remember that being weird. Like there was like a 14-inch gap on the bottom, and they curved at the top.
I'm sure a limbo champion could have gotten underneath
that. I was trying to think if we...
Or a small child.
It was such a weird stateroom as it was that it was...
Where was that? That there was a... Oh, no, that's now, Animal Kingdom.
Shopping-wise, they had one small shop in the main atrium, and then they had a much larger shop back further on the ship that took up like a massive amount of space. Half of that shop was your typical T-shirts, caps, coffee mugs, stuff like that. The other half was Colombian Emeralds International. And they were obnoxious and pushy and to the point where I was walking around looking, and this is what I do now. When I go into a store, one of these jewelry stores in port, say, how are you? What can I show you? I'm just looking right now. When I have to say it a second time, I turn around and walk out.
If you go in one with John, tell them he has all the credit cards and the money, and he's looking to buy souvenirs for everybody.
That's what Kevin loves to do.
And I took a look at a pair of diamond earrings, and the price on them was obscene. I could have gotten them for same quality for half the price here in the States.
Did you talk to them at all about them? Because I found that on the Norwegian ship, whatever the price was, the minute you feigned interest in it,
they came down in price.
No, and that's the funny part. As I said, we all know that's not $2,500 for those earrings. And he put them away.
Oh, jeez.
And I said, oh, we're not going to play. To hell with you. So I found experiences like that, which, you know what, I don't want. It's one thing in port, it's another thing on the ship. Yeah. I don't want to experience that. So staff-wise, and ship-wise, I thought the public areas were beautiful, well-maintained, comfortable, for adults. None of them really set up for kids. None of them. So from that standpoint, I have to say that while I think the Disney ships are nicer in terms of their elegance factor, I did not feel like I was discount cruising on the ship at all. I felt it was a very nice ship, perfectly comfortable for 7 days, would do it again, would absolutely do it again.
No, it never felt like the economy cruise or anything like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, there were some nice touches on Norwegian that Disney does not do. For first of all, if you want to iron something on a Disney ship, you have to go find the laundry room on your deck. On Norwegian, you call them up and they will bring an iron and an ironing board to your room for a maximum of 3 hours. And 3 hours later, if you haven't called them to come get it, they will come and get it.
Charged?
Nope.
No,
free.
No.
Okay. Free. An iron and ironing board, which I thought was really nice. But they have no public laundry rooms on the ship, so if you want laundry done, you have to pay for it.
And pay dearly.
And pay, yeah, it's not cheap. It's not cheap. I also like the fact that our room had a small 4-cup coffee maker in it with better than decent coffee.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah, I was happy about
it
that.
It was, you know, and I told her, you know, she made sure I had my Splenda and my creamer. And so it was really nice in the morning when, you know, especially for me, I don't wake up pretty. And walking around the ship looking for a cup of coffee is a pretty scary sight for me in the morning. Being able just to have my coffee before I take my shower without having to go running around and dealing with people.
Or call room service and wait.
Right.
Two hours for the show.
So, and that's the other thing. Room service, I found, very good, generally speaking, very good. The food was good. The timeliness was good, except there was one instance where it took them a little too long. But outside of that, I thought room service was very good. Overall, it really comes down to what's important to you. The one thing that Norwegian, Royal Caribbean, Princess, Carnival, any of the rest of them simply do not have is that X factor that Disney does. There is a certain consistency. There is a certain, especially in Cruise Line, there is a certain thing that it has in terms of its service and its ship and its rooms and its everything that is elevated, in my opinion. It's why it's considered a luxury cruise line. And there is that X factor that you have to consider. Now, for fans, that X factor is really important. But sometimes, if it's the difference between doing an Alaska cruise or not doing an Alaska cruise, the Norwegian Jewel was an excellent choice. My mother loved it. We loved it. We had a great time. We had, you know, pretty much all the same shore excursions you'll have on a Disney ship. Same prices for the shore excursions. The food was better. There were too many kids running around. So there are factors depending on what is important to you. But if it's the difference between doing it and not doing it, Norwegian Jewel, you will not suffer. You will not feel like you are on the cheapo cruise to hell.
Did you buy a soda package on the Norwegian cruise?
I did not, because I really don't drink that much soda anymore.
On the one we were on, the soda package, that's one of the things we noticed. On Disney Cruise Line, if you're at dinner, your soda is included.
And soda's free up on deck.
And the drink stations are available to you 24 hours a day. On Norwegian and on Royal Caribbean, it was $53, which included a gratuity. Your gratuity was already included. But even if you didn't buy the soda package, you didn't get a choice of Coke or Diet Coke at dinner. Then you paid by the can,
yeah.
Which is one of the things that's a difference in my opinion.
That is a difference. It's a good point I forgot to mention, but that's absolutely true. The, you know, sodas on Disney, generally speaking, are free.
Can you bring your own on Norwegian like you can
no.
Disney?
I don't
Norwegian
believe so.
Neither Norwegian nor Royal Caribbean will allow you to bring
beverages of any kind.
Beverages on the ship.
No alcohol, no.
They'll save it for you. If you buy alcohol in a port, they'll put it aside for you until your last night.
Exactly.
But you're not allowed to drink it on the ship like Disney allows.
So really and truly, if, like I said, if it's a difference between going and not going, Norwegian. And I'll give you an example of some of the price differences. Looking at an early June sailing out of Vancouver next year for DCL and Seattle for Norwegian. Very similar itineraries. On Disney, an inside stateroom for two people, $2,509. An inside stateroom on Norwegian, $1,438. So it's $1,100 cheaper. And that's for two people. It's not per person. That's for two people. A balcony stateroom on the Wonder next year, $4,091 versus $2,870.
Big difference.
On Norwegian. And with Norwegian, you are actually looking, when you combine the size of the stateroom with the size of the balcony, you are looking at about 40 square feet larger. And that is for what they consider a mini suite, by the way. They have an outside stateroom with balcony, and then they have a mini suite. Now, the mini suite with balcony is what I'm pricing. And that is that's about 40 square feet larger with the balcony than Disney. It's 308 square feet on Norwegian versus 268 on Disney. So, you know, that difference in price, that $1,400 or $1,200 can be your shore excursions.
When people ask me about which cruise line they should go with, I tell them it's like buying a car. We might go out and buy the same Cadillac. You might want entirely different things. You might want leather upholstery and automatic windows, and I might be happy with a high-end cloth upholstery. It's all of the little details that you have to look at to see which one's going to be the best
right.
fit for you.
If you're traveling with kids, I definitely say Disney. If you're adults and you don't mind that you might have some kids running around, I think Norwegian is a good option. Norwegian's a good option. If you're somebody that really cares about the level of service, you need to go with Disney. If you're somebody who really cares about the quality of the food, you need to go with Norwegian. But either way, we had great experiences on both sailings, enjoyed both sailings equally. I think I probably enjoyed the Disney a little bit more, but only because we did the Adventures by Disney add-on, which makes the experience in port just entirely different.
Plus, that was your first time there.
And it was my first time, and that does have a factor. So overall, that is my impression of the...
That's interesting.
Norwegian Jewel versus the Disney Wonder.
Is the Norwegian Jewel the same size as the Epic?
No. This is the size... This is like the Pride of America out in Hawaii. Same class ship.
Wow.
Same class ship.
Okay.
And just as nice. You know, remember how nice the Pride looked?
Good to know.
Jewel is... it's a sister ship. So, all right. Well, that will do it for this segment. We hope you enjoyed it. We'll be back with you again next time with another episode of The Diz Unplugged. Thanks for listening, everyone. And remember, stay out of the damn lake, especially if there are icebergs and glaciers.